And with me on the line is Jerry Vogler. Jerry Vogler, how you doing today?
I'm just great. Have a great morning.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Well, I did want to touch on this burn pit bill. So it's so much more than a burn pit bill. And I wanted to ask you about not only the pork, but what exactly is going to benefit veterans from the quote unquote burn pit bill?
Okay, the overall act that we're really talking about is the PACT, P-A-C-T Act, which is the, of all strange names, Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act. And essentially what it does is it enhances the ability of veterans to be able to make service-connected disability claims for hazard exposures. This has been a long, long, long time coming because right now there are more claims for toxic exposures for service-connected disability claims than there are from any other source. This comes about because in modern warfare, you have so many chemicals and solvents and fuels and a variety of other things that are hazardous when burned. The burn pits were extensively used in the Middle East, and in most cases, up until recent years, people that were exposed to burn pits were exposed without any type of hazmat gear or respirators or anything like that while they were burning it. In addition, the downstream stream of toxic smoke and so forth hit a lot of people that were, you know, stationed near the burn pits that had nothing to do with the burn pits. Now, the burn pits themselves, they're only a portion of the bill. The bill also includes an expansion of Agent Orange. There are about 600,000 of the 1.6 million living Vietnam veterans who will now be potentially eligible for filing service-connected disability claims. Those veterans were denied because they didn't serve directly in Vietnam. But now Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Guam, American Samoa, Johnson Atoll, and a number of other smaller islands are now presumed to have been exposed to Agent Orange and could receive compensation by filing claims. The problem with this is it doesn't happen overnight, and it's usually an act of Congress rather than a statistical outcome study. The VA collects data on groups of people that were exposed and groups of people who weren't exposed and see if there's any relationship to the exposure to coming down with certain types of illnesses. Eventually, it takes a long process, and Congress usually jumps in when the data looks more likely as not to show that the exposures were what the cause was for the disabilities. And that's when they pass an act to make it happen. That happened in Agent Orange. It's now happening with the burn pit. Unfortunately, once the act is passed, then it is given over to the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy then writes the final rules. And they're not really talking now until probably at least January 2023 before final rules will be established. However, this changes the game totally in terms of numbers. And only people that are Vietnam-era Agent Orange exposure coming forward are eligible for this toxic act. Anything that happened prior to that date, Korea and so forth, if they're not covered by the Agent Orange Act, then they're not going to be covered under this act.
Mm, that's interesting because it should cover those because it's not that those burn pits didn't just affect the Vietnam era vets. It was vets also in the Korean War.
Yeah, well, not so much the Korean War as the Gulf War, since Desert Shield and Desert Storm, they used the burn pits to get rid of virtually anything that they could burn in large amounts all over Kuwait and in Iraq, both during and after the war, and as well as the 700 oil fires that burned when Saddam Hussein set fire to them. That's all covered under this act. The problem is that it takes a long time to get the data together. And then after that, they have to look and say, well, if they include all these people, what's the likelihood of the impact on the budget? And that's where it gets a little ticklish because when you add 600,000 people that aren't covered now, that's a large chunk of funding. And one of the things that they're doing, like they do with all these bills, is the opposition party, a lot of times, and that can be Democrat or Republican, will come up with all kinds of other things to attach onto it because it is such a political hot subject that they possibly can get something that they couldn't get passed any other way by itself, attach that bill to something like the PACT Act, because who's going to turn down 600,000 veterans for what they are deserving of in terms of benefits when they've got something nasty that's attached to it that's totally irrelevant.
Mm. And does that happen a lot with bills? Do they add a lot of pork to that and then they just kind of slap veterans on at the very end? And I mean, does that make you feel bad being a vet yourself, Jerry? I mean, I feel like that's like a, you know, oh, you're a second thought and you're being used for political gain.
Well, it's even worse than that, Kat, in that there are two kinds of legislation that come before Congress. One is entitlements, and that's like Social Security and welfare. Those particular benefits, of course, they apply to everybody. Those are called entitlements for a reason. By law, they have to be funded. However, veterans benefits are discretionary spending, which then every year or 2 years, if they budget for 2 years as they're doing now for VA benefits, they become an absolute political basketball, being tossed back and forth, things being added to it. And the interesting thing is it usually starts out as a VA bill, and then other stuff is added to it in order to get those other bills passed. What it really does is it diminishes the faith of veterans that their elected representatives really care about it. It's more what they can get politically through without having to fight on the merits of the individual item. What needs to really happen is there needs to be legislation passed that would take VA benefits and move them from discretionary to entitlement. Because entitlement bills generally do not have that much pork to it because it has to be passed anyway.
Jerry Vogler, we are pushing up against a break. So in a couple of minutes, can you tell me about the Desert Storm War Memorial groundbreaking?
Sure. Be glad to.
So the groundbreaking ceremony, where exactly is that? It was held at the site on July 14th, 2022. Is there another one coming?
No, that's it. It took, probably 10 or 15 years to get this memorial built. And most of the delay was not the funding of it because they got the necessary funding some time ago through a variety of sources, including from Kuwait, gave a number of millions of dollars. Where the problem was is where they were going to put it. And for whatever reason, politically, the decision makers decided that they didn't want it on the mall with the Korean and Vietnam and World War II memorial and other memorials. And so after a lot of soul searching and so forth, they finally came up to a new and final location at the southwest corner of 23rd Street and Constitution Avenue, which, of course, is the main drag through town, near the Commission of Fine Arts building in a block from the Department of State. That memorial cost $40 million, and it's been about 15 years running. Now we pretty much have a war memorial of some type for everything except the combined Grenada, Lebanon, Marine Corps barracks burning explosion in the Panama, going in and getting Noriega out of there. And because they were so short, like Desert Storm and Desert Shield, it's taken a long time to get enough emphasis going in order to make it happen. And of course, Desert Shield and Desert Storm started our current long involvement in the Middle East.
Awesome, Jerry. We are pushing up against a break, but if you missed any of the Veterans Corner for today, you can head to cities99.com. Jerry, you have a great rest of your day and stay dry.
You too. Have a great day.